From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns begins a message entitled, The Comfort and Confidence of Knowing God Knows, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Pruning for Fruit-Bearing. The text is John chapter 15 and verse 2, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. This is a precious promise to one who lives for fruitfulness. At first, it seems to wear a sharp aspect. Must the fruitful bough be pruned? Must the knife cut even the best and most useful? No doubt it is so, for very much of our Lord's purging work is done by means of afflictions of one kind or another. It is not the evil, but the good who have the promise of tribulation in this life. But then, the end makes more than full amends for the painful nature of the means. If we may bring forth more fruit for our Lord, we will not mind the pruning and the loss of leafage. Still, purging is sometimes wrought by the Word apart from trial, and this takes away whatever appeared rough in the flavor of the promise. We shall by the Word be made more gracious and more useful. The Lord, who has made us, in a measure, fruit-bearing, will operate upon us till we reach a far higher degree of fertility. Is not this a great joy? Truly, there is more comfort in a promise of fruitfulness than if we had been warranted riches or health or honor. Lord Jesus, speedily fulfill thy gracious word to me, and cause me to abound in fruit to thy praise.
Let
you seeking to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, but sometimes hesitant because of questions you may be asked? To assist you in your efforts at personal evangelism, Let the Bible Speak is happy to offer a DVD featuring Dr. Alan Cairns answering such questions as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions in this DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, he responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to provide you free of charge this DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's words for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Today, Dr. Cairns takes his text from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8, in which the Lord Jesus warns his people against the vain repetitions of the heathen. For he said, "Your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." Yet God does not forbid his children from expressing the earnest desires of their hearts to him repeatedly. Certainly, the Bible is full of examples of importunity in prayer. Although God is fully aware of our needs, he never tires of listening to our heartfelt cries. For as the title of the message declares, there is comfort and confidence in knowing that God knows. Now to introduce this message, here is Dr. Cairns.
Verse 19 of Psalm 22, and we read these last few verses of the psalm together. "But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, heest thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised, nor abhorred, the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. We finish the reading at verse 26. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. We return this morning to the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. We have been spending some time in this portion which teaches us the Savior's message about his people in prayer. We have looked generally at the section verse 5 through verse 8, in which the Lord Jesus tells us very clearly the kind of praying God will answer. Then we have taken some weeks, many more weeks than I had anticipated, to look particularly at the first part of that general section. You remember that generally the Lord Jesus warns us against praying like hypocrites and praying like the heathen. We have been considering what it means. In verse 6, when the Savior says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Now we want to move on. We want to think of the second part of the Savior's teaching concerning repetitious praying. He says, "When ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." Now verse 8 is the verse I particularly want us to consider this morning. "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask." Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Now, at the very outset, we must make one thing very plain. Mark it well. The Lord Jesus does not condemn all repetition in prayer. He does not give a blanket denunciation of repetitious praying. The only repetition that the Savior denounces here is vain repetition or empty repetition. Not for a moment does the Lord Jesus Christ condemn the repeated cries of a heart in agony or of a soul that's aflame with devotion and with adoration to God. The general and simple rule would be that as long as the lips express the active thinking of the mind and the earnest yearning of the heart, they are not uttering vain repetition. And I say that because so often God's people come under a burden of guilt because they feel we cover the same ground in prayer again and again. Does not the Savior warn us against empty repetition? Yes, he does. But remember, as long as the words you're speaking express the yearning of your heart and the active thinking of your mind, your repetition, should it take place a million times, is neither vain nor open to condemnation. The Lord Jesus goes on here to tell us, "When ye pray, say," and he gives us what we generally call the Lord's Prayer. I believe that Christians should pray that prayer. I believe it will add a depth to your prayer life if you learn to pray that prayer, syllable by syllable in the secret place. If you take it and ponder it and pray through it, I believe you will find not only does it continue to express the deepest needs and the greatest yearnings of a Christian's heart, but it will lead you ever more deeply into a communion and the knowledge of the will of God. So the repetition of the Lord's Prayer is something He actually enjoins upon us. Repetition in prayer is actually something that the Bible sets before us, and we should learn, for example, that repetition may simply be the continued expression of the desire of your heart. When a man continually repeats a certain prayer, it may merely be the expression of a great intensity. Or it may show that he has a deepening awareness of his need and of his soul's desires. Or it may simply be the faithful response of a soul that's under repeated assaults from Satan. And as often as Satan repeats an assault, then that soul may well respond in faith with the same cry to God. That's not vain repetition. That's very good repetition. You'll find Daniel prayed that way. If you read Daniel's prayer in Daniel chapter 9, starting at verse 5, going through verse 11, there's the deepening awareness of the situation for which he's burdened. And he starts off that section with the great confession, "We have sinned." Now the carnal mind would say, that's enough, you've told God that. But in the agony of his soul and in the depths of his yearning, Daniel says, "We have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. We have rebelled, departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments." Notice how he's piling one statement upon the other. Each of them ultimately means the same thing as far as mere language goes, but each of them is going ever more deeply into the intensity of the feeling of a soul in touch with God. He goes on to repeat himself a lot more, restating the sins of his people. But this is not vain repetition. Feel the intensity of Daniel's prayer when he gets to the 19th verse and he cries, "O Lord, hear! O Lord, forgive! O Lord, hearken and do! Defer not for thine own sake, O my God." And again the piling of statement or petition upon petition. What is it? It is simply the outpouring of the great depths of a heart in touch with God. You find the same thing when you follow Christ in the Gethsemane. There you have prayer at its deepest. There you have spiritual conflict, the like of which the world never saw before and will never see again. The Son of God alone with His Father, with all the hounds of hell against Him, with Satan more than at any other time in history, concentrating every ounce of hell's energy to let loose against the mind and the heart of the Son of God. And such was the intensity of the conflict that the blood of Jesus Christ oozed through the very pores of his skin. And he felt that physically he must die if this went on. And he cried, "Father, let this cup pass from me." He came to his disciples to find them sleeping. And he went back into that garden of agony to pray what? The same words. Not just for a moment, but for an hour. And then he went back again and spent another protracted period praying what? The very same words. There's nothing wrong in repeating the words, as long as they are the outpouring of the deep feelings of the heart. But we must never fall into the habit of vain and empty repetition, of saying words with our minds disengaged. Repetition that is mindless and thoughtless is not Christian, it is heathen. Heathen praying, mindless repetition, is based on a wrong view of God. It's based on a wrong view of prayer. The heathen's concept of how to get something from God is utterly shameful and has no place in a Christian's life. To the heathens, God, remember, is a remote deity, one whom they must render willing to help them. God is one from whom they must extract a blessing, as from an unwilling giver. And to do this, they must always seek to make a large impression upon him. And one way to do that is to pray. But since they feel remote from their God, then they know only the ritual religion of fear, the meaningless form of repetitive praying, and by that very repetition, a self-induced sense of euphoria achieved by disengaging the mind through somewhat hypnotic incantations. That's the heathen attitude to prayer. And Jesus says, "Be not thou therefore like unto them." True prayer, and I must emphasize this against much that has come into evangelical Christianity by the gateway of the charismatic movement, giving you the theories of prayer of some of their so-called great leaders who eulogize the methodology of the Buddhist monks who employ that very methodology and say that is Christian praying. I have to tell you, true prayer, Christian prayer, is not a mantra to be chanted or incanted. True prayer is the humble, simple approach of a child of God to his Father in heaven in the assurance that his Father loves him and his Father hears him. Listen to the Savior's words. Your Father knoweth what things you have need of. We don't need to convince the Lord to hear us. We don't have to extort something from an unwilling God. And when we tell the Lord our needs in prayer, we're not informing him of anything. He already knows those needs before we do. He knows them before they even come to exist in our experience. He certainly knows them fully before we ever ask for a thing. When we come, we're not informing the Lord of anything. But when we come to pray, we come to invoke his intervention. We do so that we may pray with intelligence, that we may pray with meaning, that we may pray with purpose. But we always remember, we don't simply repeat ourselves like heathens because our Father knows the things we have need of before we ask him. Now, the underlying truth of that text, of course, is that the effectiveness of prayer doesn't lie in the words or in their frequency, does not rely upon the repetition of prayer. The truth here is that prayer's effectiveness depends on the Lord. It depends on his relationship with us. It depends on his infinite wisdom and his willingness as our Father to meet our needs. That's what true praying depends upon.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.